So please turn with me to Luke chapter 8, the Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 8. We considered last week in that parable of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the wayside hearer. Now you remember that parable of our Lord that is recorded in Luke 8 and verses 4 to 15. He speaks about a sower who goes out into a field and he sows a seed. He's like a farmer who went out into his field to sow seed. And the account in this parable or this heavenly story with teaching for our soul, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching of what happens to different people who hear the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. And every one of us are pictured in this parable. Every one of us. The way we respond to this sowing of the Word of God. We hear it. We understand some of it. But what fruit does it bring about? Does it bring about salvation in our hearts? Does it bring about spiritual growth and spiritual walk with God? Or is it something else? It's a parable. Literally, the word parable, it means to put things side by side in order to compare them. That's what a parable is. The Lord, through this, puts this account, this story, side by side with our life. And He says, you compare your life. Where does it match? Is it speaking to you? And that's the intention. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was telling this spiritual story, but it was a serious story. It was serious. It was a very solemn story. It was a story that if it wasn't understood and heeded, then it would result in the person's eternal death. It is a serious thing. The Lord is teaching because He speaks about three different categories in this parable who were lost. Who were lost. They did not bear any kind of fruit. Verse 10 crystallizes this, where we read those words, unto you, He says. And He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery. And so He says, it is a very personal thing. To those of you who are hearing the Word of God, unto you this is given. It is a reality that happens on every Lord's Day. It's a reality that happens in every meeting. It's a reality that happens in every time you open your Bible, when you hear a sermon, when you're reading a Christian book or a tract. It's a reality that is taking place. There is someone in every congregation that represents one of these four people, four categories of soil. These soils are the heart of men and women and boys and girls. All represent one of these. So we must ask our own hearts. Ask yourself this morning, oh, this concerns me. I am reading about my heart in this parable. Lord, show me which one I represent. I am here, Lord, in this message. This message is for me. And so, be honest about it, friends. And here is the account about the shallow hearer of the Word of God. Those who receive the Gospel in a shallow manner. That's really what it was. This stony ground that we read of in verse 6. And that's the verse that we want to concentrate on. We read this. And some of this seed fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And then the Lord Jesus explains what He says in verse 13. And He says, they on the rock, so His people, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. That's what we want to think about. And I will give you very brief 3 points and then spend most of my time in application. First of all, Our Lord speaks about the condition of the ground. He speaks about the stony condition of the heart. That's what He speaks about. It says in verse 6, "And some fell." Some of this seed fell. A portion of this seed had fallen upon the wayside. It was trodden down. It didn't go at all into the ground. But this one, it did go into the ground. "And some fell upon a rock." Fell on a rock. In Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 5, it says of stony places. Let me give you the picture here of this ground. The ground here was not basically earth which had bits of gravel and stones in it. Pieces of rocks on it. It's not that. No. It is referring to a thin layer of soil, and underneath it there is the bedrock. There's rock, and on top of it there's just a thin layer of soil. It's a shallow soil overspreading a layer of hidden rock. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. And in Matthew's account, in Matthew 13 and verse 6, it says that it had no deepness of earth. So it's shallow. So that's one thing we learn. That's my first point. The condition of the ground is, it is rocky. The earth on it is very shallow. And again, it's talking about my heart, your heart, the condition of the lost. And the way they receive it. Then, the second thing is the growth of the seed, or the reception of the Word of God. The reception of the Gospel is talking about. It's not received very well. Or at least, it looks like it has been received well, but then it is shallow. It says, "And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away." So it did spring up, but then as soon as it sprung up, it withered away, it says. So what is the Lord saying? It dies prematurely. The germinated plant, that shoot from the seed, it dies out quickly. It doesn't have time to grow. It doesn't have time to bear fruit. And from the same account of Matthew and Mark, there is mention made of this seed that germinates, it grows. Boys and girls, you plant the seed and then it grows. And that is immediate, and shoots grow without delay. But then in Luke's account, the Lord says that as soon as it grows out, it withers away. And boys and girls, I'm sure you've all done it. I've done it. You've done it, I'm sure. You've planted a seed, whatever that seed might be, and then you go to see how it grows. You see the shoot, and then you pluck it out, and see how long is the root, and then you try to put it back in, and oftentimes it dies. It hasn't brought any kind of fruit. It hasn't grown that much. It did seem to grow quickly, but you didn't leave it to grow root deep. It was only shallow root. And that's what the Lord is saying here. Some people receive the Word of God, yes, but yet really they are not listening. It affects them only a little bit. And what happens? They are excited about it for a little while. They become joyful. They have some sort of a hope. And their emotions are affected by it. But really, there is no depth to it. And then finally, so that's my second point. The third point is this. The reason for the premature death of the plant. And we have referred to this already. And the reason for the premature death of the faith of someone in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the reason? It's good to combine some of these parallel passages. I'll use Luke's account in Luke chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6. This is what we read to give us the big picture. It says in Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, and verses 5 and 6, this is what we read. "And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth." So there was some earth, but it wasn't much. "And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. So that's what it says. The reason for it is when the sun was up, there was little earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And in verse 6 of Luke 8, it gives the reason for the death of the plant, because it lacked moisture. If you have little earth, you're not going to have much moisture in the ground. When the sun comes up, it even the moisture evaporates. And so let's again illustrate what's happening in this spiritual story, this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told. The seed is sown. It falls on a thin layer of soil on top of a, as it were, a slab of stone, the stony ground. It's the bedrock. And straightway it germinates. It straightway begins to grow. But as it germinates, as it springs up, it falls away. It uproots itself. It becomes scorched by the sun. And all of these things join hand in hand, and the plant dies. It doesn't produce any fruit. When the shoot is above the surface of the earth, the sun is above the surface of the horizon. And you combine these two accounts together, the plant dies, it is scorched, it is burnt of the heat of the sun. The life is evaporated from it, as it were. And so it withers away. It falls away because it has no deep root. If it had deep root, it would not have fallen away. If it was not so shallow, it would not fall away. And so that's what it's telling us. And this is something every farmer, every allotment holder, every gardener knows about throughout this world, of the fate of a plant without sufficient depths of soil. The fate of it would be a quick death. Now, so that's my 3 points. Within 5 minutes, so these things can happen. Now, the rest of the time, I want to just apply these things to you and to myself too. What has been explained is very simple. It's a simple parable. You all can relate to it. But then let us now do what the parable is meant for. Put ourselves side by side with it. Let us compare our lives with it. Think about what the Lord says in verse 13 of Luke 8. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. The Lord is teaching that those who hear the gospel might be very careful, because some of them are showing very much promising signs. It is very exciting. It is very joyful. But if their profession is not genuine, if it is shallow, if it is not a spiritual profession, then it's aborted. It dies. And how often we have seen that? How often we have seen that? Like a miscarriage, like an abortion of an infant in the womb, it is very sad indeed. The end result is death. We think there is life there. But then when the produce is formed, when the child is born, it is dead. And so it is with some who are listening. They hear. It has some impressions upon their life, but they are not converted. And that's what verse 13 is explaining, this parable. It's a temporary Christian professor that is described here. Not a true Christian, a professor. They profess. A person with no sign of a spiritual fruit. They have shallow heart. They are emotional here. Their emotions are affected. But the heart has been left the same. They make resolutions. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I turn away a new leaf. But then, within a short time, there is no real change made. They don't really receive the word of God. For the word of God and for the gospel to take root in their hearts.
Their response is purely emotional. That's why it says they receive it with joy. Joy is mentioned. It's an aspect of your emotions. Maybe that curtain could be pulled if that's all right. But the emotions are affected by the words that they hear. So they hear the right words. It's not that they're hearing something false. And it produces within them, it shakes them up, it goes within them, it produces some emotions, there's some response. It's not that they are indifferent to it. And this is the thing, this is, makes it even more dangerous. It makes it very subtle, friends. And yet, these people, even though they go further than the ones before, the seed goes within, yet they still are unfruitful. They forget the gospel. They are distracted in some ways. The seed doesn't take root. These are stony, rocky hearers. They go further. They accept what is preached by the Word of God. And if you ask them, are you a Christian? They oftentimes say, I hope so. I hope so. They have some hope, and some of them are very definite. Yes, for sure. I'm so happy about this. But then their life and words do not match. They are like that famous man, now I've forgotten his name, I must confess, that a reporter went, they saw him, or he or she saw this man going into a building, and let me just pick a name, I've forgotten the name of the man, but they said, are you the real John Smith? And the man said, I am the real John Smith only when I am alone. You only see my outward. You don't see what I am when I'm alone. The real John Smith is when people don't see him. And so likewise, friends, these people resemble something of Christianity and religion. But they are different when they are not in a religious environment. It's an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to learn the vocabulary. It's an easy thing, especially being brought up in a church, being brought up in a Christian home. You learn all of the things that you've been taught. And it's a good thing to learn. But pray to God, Lord, I don't want to be a shallow hearer. Boys and girls, pray that today. Lord, I don't want to just make promises and resolve this and resolve that and turn a new leaf. But then for it to be no change, Lord, save me. Lord, change my heart. Lord, if it is a shallow earth, if I am a shallow hearer, Lord, change me. Take away that rocky heart of mine. Put within me the love for the Lord Jesus Christ and love for thy glory. You see, my friends, you can do all kinds of things if you want. But if it is a shallow thing, if it's not a real deep work done in you, if you don't have the root of salvation in you, then it is all in vain. Then your joy will pass as when things become difficult. When the sun rises upon you, what will happen? You lose heart. Hasn't that happened to you? Hasn't that happened to you? You become cold and people come and say, well, I thought you were moving forward. I thought you were making advances. I thought you were saying that you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, you don't read, you don't pray. There's no peace. You're running after this and that and the other. Haven't you experienced that? Haven't you seen that? Praise God if you have been touched by the message of salvation. Praise God for it. Praise God that you have been given some hope, that there is some joy in you. Praise God for that. But don't stop there. Don't be affected simply by something that you hear that convicts you. But go on further. Go on further. Don't think that's the end of it. No, go on to know the Lord. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Make sure that you have left the kingdom of this world, that you have by grace been brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the spiritual kingdom. Oh, you can make certain decisions very quickly. And you can profess faith quickly. You can be happy for a while. Yet, you don't become like the good ground. You know one of the marks of the good ground in verse 15 at the end of it? It says this, and bring forth fruit with patience, it says. With patience. That means it lasts. That means it perseveres. That means it goes on and on and on. And how can that be possible? Because it's the work of God. It's God who keeps you. So look to the Lord Jesus Christ who can keep you. Don't try to keep yourself. Because if you try to keep yourself, you're just like that shallow ground. Trying your best to go down, have root, but it's hard. You can't do it. The first seed wasn't buried. It was on the surface, it was on the wayside. There was no shoot, there was no growth. But this one, not only it is buried, but it shoots out. Yet, it was premature. Without a proper root. Without moisture. Without life. That's what he's talking about. The moisture there is a picture of the life. It's the water of life that Jesus Christ gives us. And how does he give us? He purchased our salvation through his death upon the cross. That's how we receive eternal life as we receive him, as we trust in what he has done upon the cross for us. And what he does, he floods our soul with living water. He floods our soul with forgiveness and peace with God. That's what it is. It means it has to do with a lively faith, not just an outward faith. Not just a fair weather faith. When things are well, you trust in the Lord. When things become difficult, you don't trust in the Lord. Praise God. There are many, many, in many, many people's lives. The Lord brings us to himself because of the trials. Because of the bad things that happen in our lives. And so we should be thankful to God. If you are brought to your knees in prayer because of the trials you are suffering, give thanks to God for that. And the Lord says here in verse 13, they for a while believe. How long? It says for a while, for a time. It really means that till it is convenient for them. That's what it means. They are happy to believe and to call themselves Christians as long as it suits them. As long as it's going well for them. Mark uses the word a time, for a time, which is translated elsewhere, temporary. It simply doesn't last. You see, the issue is that it wasn't real to begin with. The salvation or their trust wasn't a saving faith. And so Mark says this, let me read those verses to you in Mark 4 and verses 16 onwards. 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the world's sake, or word's sake, immediately they are offended. So, this for a time, it happens. So they carry on, they profess to be Christians, but then it is when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, for the word of God's sake, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the faith in Jesus Christ, immediately they are offended. They stumble, that means. So it is temporary. This thing that they said, this wonderful conversion of theirs, in their mind, this wonderful profession of theirs lasts till a time of temptation. Then they fall away. The word is translated trial somewhere else. So until they face a trial, a temptation, until then, as Mark 4:17 says, until they face affliction and persecution or distress because of that seed that was sown, because of that message of salvation, because of the gospel, until then, they are Christians. They are happy to follow. But then when they are tested by those temptations, when they become so discouraged, when they become cast down and things seem to go wrong for them, then it is they say, where is God? Where is this gospel that you promised me and this good news? This is not good. I'll just go like everyone else. and they become discouraged. Maybe that's your situation right now. Maybe you are very discouraged right now. Remember this, friends. Let that not stop you. Go on and say, Lord, I'm discouraged. I'm ready to give up. And I realize right now, because of these feelings that I have of giving up, it is most likely because I'm a shallow hearer. Lord, I have been spoken to today personally, and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to fall away. I want to be a real Christian. Make me a real Christian, Lord. Save my soul. You can pray like that, and the Lord hears a sincere prayer. But if you're a Christian, true Christian, praise God every time you're being tested. Praise God for it. Because the testing actually proves that God has done a work of salvation in you. That's the thing. So, if you're a Christian and you're going through afflictions and pains and trials and things that are happening and it's confusing you and you're saying to yourself, well, what good can come out of this? You know, thank God and praise Him and say, but I'm still trusting in the Lord Jesus. I'm still going on. Whatever befalls me, whatever happens to me, I know it's coming from the Lord and I will trust Him. Why should I blame it on the Lord when I'm living in a sinful world? Why should I blame my trials on the Lord when it is other people who are affecting me because of my bad choices? It's not the Lord. It's me and others. So I will trust the faithful one. I will trust His gospel. That's what the Christian does. There are going to be certain pressures on you, friends, in your homes. Some pressures in school, in college, in university. Some pressures that you will have at work. And those people who are shallow hearers, they would just give in. They try to blend in with everybody else. They fall from their profession. Nobody knows they are Christians. They fall from the very thing that they so joyfully and happily had received before. And that word fall, that is mentioned in at the end of verse 13, is a word that is used when someone stumbles over something. It's the word that is translated as offended. When someone's walking and the floor gives way, they stumble over something that is on the ground. They are brought low. And these people, they lose their balance and they fall altogether. They fall and they never get up. Maybe there is pressure from some sin. Maybe there's pressure to do something that is wrong and you know it. Or there's some sort of wrong belief that a person can imbibe, some views about the gospel that is different to the Bible. Something that you say, well, yes, I know that Jesus Christ died for me, but am I good enough? Am I good enough? Have I made myself clean enough for Him to receive me? And you try to put your works and your good efforts in His place. Maybe that is the problem. And that causes you to fall. That discourages you so much. Because you see, if you are trying to win your soul and receive forgiveness by your own good works, you are going to fail miserably. And you will fail again and again and again. Because what God desires and requires of you is perfection. 100%. No less. And none of us can offer that to God. Only one person offered up his perfect soul. And that was Jesus Christ upon the cross. Instead of us, He died and offered up that perfect sacrifice. So leave your ideas behind. Leave your whatever convictions that you were brought up in and your background behind. Hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ only and only Him as He's revealed Himself in the Word of God. People are oftentimes shown to be fakes and not real when they happily give way to carelessness and a sinful lifestyle. And then they stop all things that at one time was their spiritual joy. So here are these things for us to consider. Luke gives a very strong word literally in verse 13. That when it says that they fall away. And in time of temptation, fall away. That's the word that is at times translated apostate. they apostatize. So they know the truth. They profess for a while that they have come to know it, but then they leave it. They reject it. They do something opposite to it. So it is a quite serious thing. This kind of a thing is seen oftentimes, sadly. Maybe you are here this morning and you say that this is a picture of my life. There was a time I seemed to be converted. I seemed to be walking with God. Now, you know in your own heart of heart that you are not converted. It's not that you were once saved and then you fell from that. It's not at all that. It means that you were never converted. You never had root. That's what it means. And so the Lord is saying to us, be careful. Be careful of trusting on basically temporary impressions, temporary emotions, when we have heard the word of the gospel. Maybe there are some people, and when we have had a background in other churches, and what has affected us was the music, was the emotional kind of preaching that made you weep and made you cry. And then you thought, well, that has made me a Christian. Now I'm a Christian because I have these feelings. Now, feelings are very important for a Christian, yes. Without feelings, there is our life would be miserable. And it is salvation that should bring about those feelings of joy and peace and love and all of those things. But if you depend on your feelings for your salvation, because you shed a tear, it's not your tears that saves your soul. It's not for feeling of joy and hope that saves you. It is Jesus Christ who saves you. He is the Savior. Or the Lord would have said, your tears are your saviors. Your cries are your saviors. Your emotions are your saviors. No. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So be confident in the Lord Jesus. Follow Him. Trust Him. Resign your soul to Him. Yield yourself to Him. And friends, when others' feelings fail, when others' feeling of love and care fails, remember He remains faithful to you. So here is our Lord Jesus Christ saying, there are some people who have shallow beliefs, shallow hearts. They haven't really received the gospel. There are those who show some signs, but it dies out. It does not produce fruit in their life. And what happens? That stony ground remains. That stony ground remains. The seed that germinated, it dies. And what happens to that soul who is never converted? Thomas Watson, the Puritan, once said this, of that stony heart who was not converted. It said this, a hard heart, the stony heart, is the anvil on which the hammer of God's justice will be striking to all eternity. Oh, may it say, Lord, may that hammer fall on me now. Break my heart now. Don't let it happen for eternity. My heart is stony rock. And I am a shallow hearer. I come to church. I hear the word of God. And tomorrow I forget it. It has no bearing on my life. And my choices and lifestyle. But Lord, break my heart today. And save my soul. And help me to trust in Christ. May that root of righteousness that yields fruit be in me. Amen. Let us pray.